Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time. We're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 1 today. So far in the month of May, we've been talking about this idea of strengthen or establish the things that remain. This is coming from Revelation chapter 3, where Jesus tells the church of Sardis, wake up and strengthen or establish the things that remain. We've been talking about a lot of things that remain. For example, faith, hope, and love remain, but the greatest of these is love. God has given us this covenant of love. He's given us a covenant of love and a covenant of peace. And we can strengthen, getting more established and strengthening our focus, our getting our hearts fixed on God's steadfast love for us. We can also strengthen the righteousness of Jesus that's been given to us, not looking to establish our own righteousness, but establishing the righteousness of Jesus in our lives. Now, we're going to look in Hebrews chapter 1 here. We're going to see some things. It says, for example, God's forever and ever. Jesus remains the same forever and ever. So we can be strengthening these things that remain and getting them fixed and established in our hearts, where our hearts are fixed on these things. We talked about before, what is one of the keys to getting more established in our hearts? Meditation. Meditation helps us to bridge these gaps and to grow these more steadfast and immovable as we're strengthening and establishing these things that truly remain, the things that truly last, the things that are truly secure in our lives. So let's get into Hebrews chapter 1 here. Let's start with prayer, and then we'll get into Hebrews chapter 1. So we're going to pray our prayer from our 30-day prayer challenge. If you're not familiar with the prayer, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com and you can find the 30-day prayer challenge there. This is a prayer that I pray every day over myself, my family, friends, those connected to me, partners. And it's amazing to see how God answers this prayer regularly in just new and exciting ways all the time. And if you want to learn more about this prayer, like I said, there's some additional training videos, and there's a tool that you can use to help you plan your day with God and to walk out your day with God as we go. But Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody watching this video, their families, their friends, those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Lord, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, for transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, and just the abundance of all the good things that you have done for us in our lives. And Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better. We would know you more and more, and that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us, and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, we ask you to bless us. Let us all come away with practical things that we can implement today, along with feeling challenged and encouraged and inspired and enlightened all at the same time. And expand our borders and our territory. Expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and love and all the good that you want to do in our lives, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. And keep your hand on us. Help us do today, this day, what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you, Lord, to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So after we pray that prayer every day, it's important to take a few minutes to get still, to listen. You know, prayer is a two-way communication, so making sure you take some time to get still and listen for God's direction. His voice is trying to lead you out. In Job chapter 36, it says he's leading you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place free from restriction. And John chapter 10 says it's his voice that leads us along that path. So taking the time to get still. But let's get into Hebrews chapter 1 here. So we're going to see, I was just reading this last night, and I was just reminded of, we've been talking about strengthening or establishing these things that remain, to be established, is to be fixed, is to be immovable, is to be set in place, is to be permanently in place. You think about a tree that is established. It's not moved by a little bit of drought or the wind or storms. That tree is fixed. It's established in the ground. The Apostle Paul tells us, Ephesians chapter 3, to be rooted and established in love. And we see yesterday we talked about how God can establish us. God has the power to establish us, in the faith and to make us firm and immovable and fixed and consistent. How? Because we keep our eyes fixed on him. As we stay focused on him, we meditate on him and these types of things. He has the power to make us rooted and grounded and built up and established and immovable. But let's start here in Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to read the whole chapter and we're just going to go through this chapter of Hebrews 1. So it says, the Son, Jesus, is superior to angels. So starting in verse 1, it says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Jesus is the heir of all things, and we are in him. We are in him, and through him, and through whom he made the universe. God made the universe through Jesus. You also see this, I believe, in Proverbs chapter 8. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. I've been thinking about this. I've been seeing this concept quite a bit lately. The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory. Think about Moses. When he came down from the mountain after spending time with God, his face was glowing. His face was radiant because of the glory of God. He was radiant. I've been working on a new book lately. One of the concepts in there is God is the source of beauty. God is beautiful himself, and he is the source of beauty. Often we try to beautify ourselves. We try to beautify our lives, but God is the source of beauty. And I believe there's a psalm that says, those that look upon him are radiant. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. He's radiating God's glory. And he's the exact representation of his being. He's the exact representation of God's being. Jesus says, if you want to see God, look at me. He's the exact representation of his being. He was made in his image. He's sustaining all things by his powerful word. His word sustains everything. That's a powerful concept to think about. He's sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Jesus is seated at God's right hand. And Ephesians 2:6 says that we have also been seated there with him. I once had this time where I was laying in bed and I'm just praying and kind of visualizing, just talking with God. And all of a sudden, in my mind, I could see myself seated next to God on his throne there. I could see myself seated there. And I'm looking around. I'm like, where is Jesus? If I'm sitting right here, Jesus should be here. Where is Jesus? And I'm kind of freaking out a little bit because I'm like, where is Jesus? He's not around me. And I'm finally turned to God and I said, God, where is Jesus? And he said very simply, and I'll never forget this. He's in you and you're in him. He's in you and you're in him. He made us to be one. Jesus prays that we would be one with him and one with God the Father, that we would all be one. And so we've been seated in heavenly places with Christ. And that's something, his throne is going to remain forever. God's throne, Jesus' throne, is going to remain forever. And we can strengthen or establish that positioning in our hearts. And we might say, well, wait a minute, how am I in heaven, but I'm also here on the earth? How am I here in heaven, but I'm also here on the earth? And the answer I've learned is this. There's a principle in quantum physics called quantum superposition that says you can be in two places at one time. A particle can be, a light can be a particle and it can be a wave. It's both at the same time. But the observer, the person who's looking for it, only sees the one that they're looking for. They only see light being a particle if they're looking for a particle, or they only see light being a wave if they're looking for a wave. So which one are we looking for? Are we viewing life from our heavenly position in Christ and being one with him, remaining in him, remaining in his love? Because that positioning never changes. That positioning is forever. or we can be viewing life from our positioning here on earth. And yes, we have to let that positioning of being seated with Christ in heavenly places, heaven and earth have to become one. We have to take that positioning and allow God's grace and power and love and goodness flow through us so that we're a blessing to people all over the world. We need both. We're seated in heavenly places, but we got to let that power and that love and that grace work through us according to his power that's at work within us so that we go out and are a blessing to people on the earth. And we view the problems and the issues and the situations of life from our positioning. We got to establish and strengthen that positioning of being seated with Christ. And we got to establish that in our hearts, where that's the lens that we view the world through. So after he had sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, so he became as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father and he will be my son"? I'm just thinking right now. This is just coming to me that the name Jesus has inherited is so much superior to the angels. Well, there are some angels that we don't think of as angels. All the demonic powers, those are fallen angels. His name is so far superior to them. His name is far above. Again, I once had this time, again, it was a different vision, where I'm standing next to Jesus, and I'm going up, 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 up. And this is, I teach on this in the prayer challenge prayer that we talk about, coming from Ephesians chapter 1, because that verse started to get highlighted to me from Ephesians chapter 1, that Jesus is far above, he's far above, he's far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. But as we were going up, I'm standing next to him. I can't really see him perfectly, but we're going up, and light's coming out from all around him. We're going up. And then we get into this area that the Bible calls, I guess, the second heavens. And that's where all of the evil powers remain, these fallen angels that decided to follow Satan and leave God and follow Satan. And they all reside in this second heaven. And we're going through that area, and it is just nasty. It is ugly. I don't know how to describe it, because what? God is the source of all beauty. God is the source of all beauty. So when they got separated from him, they lost that connection to the source of beauty. Everything got nasty and ugly and dark. And we're going through this, and I don't know how to fully describe it with words, but just some nasty looking things in that realm. But then we broke through that, and we got above it, and we started going up and up and up and up. And all I hear is Ephesians chapter 1 playing over and over. Jesus is far above. Jesus is far above. Jesus is far above. And we go up and up and up, and I can't describe to you, infinitely higher than that middle realm there, where all the ugliness, all the nastiness, all the darkness was. Jesus is so far above, I can't even describe it. So far above. And again, we'll get back into the text here. And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, Jesus is God's firstborn son, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." And speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne," about Jesus's throne, "your Son, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever." His throne. What is his throne? His throne is his kingdom. His kingdom will remain forever, but it's also his justice. God is a God of justice. And sometimes we get his justice misinterpreted sometimes. And the big thing I want you to think about when we think of God's justice, a lot of times we get wronged here on the earth. People do us wrong. People do things to us. And what I've learned is rather than retaliating back at those people, maybe you have lawsuits against people, you have these types of things going on, you can give those things to God. And if you will give them to him, and you will stay in love with the people around you, forgive, give other people the same love and the same grace, and give that thing to God, God will make it right. He is a God of justice. He will see that things get righted, and he will do it in a way that's beneficial for everybody. He may not do it in the way that you expect him to, but he will make it right for you, and he will do it in his perfect timing. And so we have to learn to put our trust in his justice rather than earthly justice here, and giving him those things. I'm just reminded of a story one of our partners told me recently. He had done some construction work, building out some lots. And he had an agreement with a guy that the guy was going to pay him something like $80,000 to build these lots and prepare some of these lots that he was going to do. Well, when it was all said and done, he only got about $30,000, 30-something thousand dollars out of this guy. And that was just barely enough to cover his costs. So he did all this work and he really didn't make any money. He just covered his costs barely only. And he was trying to figure out what to do. And somebody was telling him that he had a guy that he knew that was a judge, I believe, that was telling him, hey, you could probably sue and get rewarded back this money and get your money back. And he was praying about it. And he felt like God saying, hey, you know what? Just give it to him. Just give it to him. And one of the things I've learned is don't let anybody steal from you. Don't let anybody steal from you. If someone takes something from you or wrongs you, give it to them as a point of trust, trusting that God's going to make it right. And sure enough, what happened? This was years ago, and finally he felt God. He was thinking about it, and he felt God say, just give it to him. Just let go of it. Just give it to him. And so he gives it to him. And within 24 hours, someone told him, hey, I'm going to give you a new house. I'm going to give you the deed to my house. It was a family member who had talked about it at one point, but then said, no, we're not going to do that anymore. Next thing you know, they changed their mind. Hey, I'm going to give you the deed to my house. Within 24 hours, God righted some things of him just letting it go and putting his trust in God to be the God of justice. So it says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. He also says, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the work of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish. Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but you remain. Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but God remains forever. We can strengthen our relationship with God. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. God remains the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can strengthen or establish him as the center of our lives. He is our source of security. He is love. God is love. He is truth. He is the Word made flesh, and we can establish him in our hearts. To which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? So God made angels to be ministering spirits to help us, in this life. So we're going to take communion here. Like I said, we've been talking about strengthening or establishing the things that remain. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And every time we take communion, we do so with holy awe and reverence and honor for God, for Jesus, for what they did. And they've given us this amazing new covenant of love that we could be one with him. Through his body, through his blood, we've been given the opportunity to be one with him. And we can strengthen and we can establish that connection, that unity of being one with him in our lives. And strengthening that position of being one and seated with him in heavenly places. And letting that flow through us so that we see the issues of life, the troubles of life, the problems of life from a different perspective. From our heavenly perspective, that, hey, God is with me. He's there to help me. He's there to guide me. And he remains the same. He remains there with me forever. And that's something that's going to last for an eternity. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this bread and what it represents. I thank you and ask you to bless it. And I just thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So after supper, at the Last Supper, Jesus took the cup and he blessed it. Heavenly Father, we just ask you to bless this cup. We thank you for it and what it represents. And he took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. New covenant, poured out for many, poured out for the forgiveness of sins of many. We just have this opportunity, this new covenant, to be one with Jesus, to be one with God, to be unified together, to remain in him and strengthening our positioning in him. Father, I thank you for this cup. In Jesus' name. So we talk about often, communion is an activation. It's a releasing of the old, it's putting on of the new, activating this new covenant in our lives. And we're supposed to go forward from it different. It's supposed to be a turning point in our lives where we go forward from it different, but then we have to follow through. How do we follow through? I want you to, normally we talk about the number one thing, love. We walk in love. We follow through, we walk in love going forward. But I want you to think about today, something a little different. Remain in him. Walk out your day today, connected to him. He is the source of all beauty. He lasts forever. He remains the same. We've been made one with him. Stay connected to him as you go throughout your day. Stay plugged into him. You'll be amazed at the change it creates and just how you go about and how you experience your day. I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.